Podcasting from CMT. Welcome to Cody Allen's podcast. It's CodyCast.
Hey, buddy.
Yo, it's Blake. Howdy.
How you doing, bud?
Well, I'm just sitting around my house. I was. I know Wes was trying desperately to FaceTime so you could see my double chin right now.
I'm missing out. Damn it.
Yeah, it's a sight. Zoom, you know, all these FaceTimes we do now, all this virtual stuff. I mean, they usually have a little bit of a filter. Do you use the filter, by the way, on there? I feel like you might know what about the filter.
I didn't know about the FaceTime filter until I saw that clip the other day where the attorney had accidentally had the kitten on.
Yes.
I didn't even know that was a thing. That's pretty damn funny. I'm going to start using it, though.
Yeah, if you just want to change your face, and then there's one that like will smooth you over. I mean, I'm sure you get this treatment at The Voice all the time, where they'll just make everything look perfect.
Now, sadly, we still do it the old-fashioned way with a spatula and makeup for me. Yeah, so,
right. Speaking of makeup, I saw Luke Bryan in that underwear commercial for over the weekend. I guess he was on during the Super Bowl, like your commercial. Does the thought of Luke Bryan in underwear, does it disgust you, or is that just me?
Well, it is disgusting, but it's not surprising. I mean, Luke is one of those guys that he just seems like the kind of guy that probably walks around in his underwear, you know, all day at his house, like with pee stains on it, and then he's soft. And he just seems like that kind of guy, doesn't he? Like,
yeah.
If he doesn't have to put clothes on, he probably doesn't.
Yeah, it's true. And his wife is in the commercial with him. She's lovely. Caroline.
Now, Caroline in her underwear does not sound as disgusting to me. That's just me.
I'm gay and it sounds better to me. I mean, Caroline in underwear.
I love it.
Let's see here. 20 years ago, a lot of people don't know, I found you in Fort Worth, Texas, scraped you off the sidewalk there, brought you to a Blockbuster Music where you played Austin with your mullet for a bunch of Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that day, by the way?
No, I don't remember. Here's what I remember.
Okay.
I don't remember that day, just so you know, as long as we're being honest with each other. But what I do remember is I do remember the first time I met you, but even before, I believe it was before I ever even met you. This was back when I still had, like, you know, AOL dial-up internet.
Yes.
I think I've told you this story before, but you used to host a top 20 show in Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. at the radio station. And it was the Texas Hot 20 or Texas. I don't remember what you called it, but it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found out through a friend that lived in Dallas, Jason Gray, called me and said, man, they are playing your song in Dallas. And not only that, but you've made it onto the countdown. It's like a daily mm-hmm. countdown, weekly
yes.
countdown. And I figured out how to get on America Online and listen to the audio of you doing your countdown. And like every day or every, I can't remember. Was it a daily countdown?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you would you vote then for yourself on the countdown?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. All right.
Doing whatever I could to survive, man. I was trying to make
fan
it.
Fan voted. And then the song became like a huge, gigantic hit there in Texas. And then all of a sudden, the country...
Austin was my first number one, yes. And, you know, so I took the long route around to say, yes, in fact, you did start my career.
I will never forget, though, the Blockbuster Music there in Hearst, I believe, right there at the Mixmaster, where the highways meet. And I'll never forget you standing there and singing for, I don't know, there were 50 people packed in there. And you just belted it out, man. So I've always known you've had it. So, and here you are 20 years later, still making giant hits like Minimum Wage. First of all, I love this song. It hits me right when the first chord, bong, da, dong, dong, ba, dong, bong. And I heard it and I thought, that is like an opening song at a concert. That's a mood.
See, now you could actually probably be, Cody, you would actually be good on my like management team and some of that, because that's how we think too. Cause it's like, wow, you know, this song will be great to open concerts with. And by the way, Blake, you know, you don't have very many up tempos, and that's yet another reason this should be a single. That's literally how some of the conversations go. You know, it's like, how does this fit into the concert?
Yeah.
If it, you know, if it, it would be a great opener because it's got a long drug out intro, you know.
Well, I don't know where this radio thing or CMT is going. So if you need me, let's just talk off a line and see if there's some opportunities.
You got it.
All right, yeah, sorry. It. Go back to your story though. Minimum wage, yes. Opening concerts.
There was a point where Scott Hendricks actually said, he goes, maybe we should think about, you know, editing that intro and making it half as long because, you know, radio stations that they won't, it's too long. You know, I go, man, they can talk over the yes. weather. Don't mess with my intro. What are you talking about?
That intro is gold. Yes, I love that intro. It does give us plenty of time to talk. We've got a lot to say on radio, and sometimes it's good to fit it over the intro. And I love to hit like a post, like right when you start singing, like dun, 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 the wolf. Bow!
Right up to the last millisecond.
It's magic. It really is. Yeah. So did this strike you, not only a great concert song, but the message of the song when you first heard it, like, okay, this is one I could do?
Yeah, it did. You know, I didn't think that hard about the message of the song. Honestly, it's just such a fun lyric, and you know, of course there's always, it seems like there's always a dust up these days, no matter what, but that, you know, the message of this song is just basically, you know, not having a lot of money sucks, but if you got love, then that sure makes things a lot easier in life, you know? I just love that it was an upbeat message, and it was an up tempo song. And I just think it's a blast. It's definitely not brain surgery. It's just a classic country theme, you know, that yeah. I was proud to record.
A lot of people overthink things these days, I'm finding.
You think?
A little bit. I mean, there's a little bit of that going on. What was the worst minimum wage job you ever worked? I'm guessing it was as a teen or maybe first moving to Nashville or something.
The first minimum wage job I had, and I'm not even sure, I'm going to tell you the truth, I may not have even made minimum wage. I'm going to ask because I roofed houses for two years, and I was a pretty crappy roofer, and finally what they found out is, why don't we just have this kid tear off the roofs and then we'll go in behind him. And so I ended up being like the fast guy who could tear off a roof really quick. I was almost like the demolition guy, you know, and I'd clean up the mess and I don't think I even made minimum wage. I need to find out because I probably made, you know, $5-6 an hour. I was, you know, probably 18 years old at the time. I was probably not even making minimum wage, to be honest.
And now how much are you making?
I've gotten a raise since then. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I think there's one of those networth.com sites. I'll look on there and see what I'm worth these days.
It has been 10 years at The Voice of picking up that paycheck, which secretly I feel like watching last season without Adam Levine, like I feel like you secretly do miss Adam a little bit.
I do miss Adam. I'm not going to make a crack about it. And here's why I miss him though. Yeah. Is because I still have to talk to the guy twice a week, every week. I mean, you know, you would think that, you know, him leaving the show, that he would do me the solid and just get out of my life, but he doesn't. He's still is constantly texting and FaceTime. And then we shot this commercial, you know, a few weeks ago, and so yeah. He's still in my life. But I miss him on the show because if he's still going to be in my life, I at least would like the opportunity to make fun of him on a national television platform, you know. And it was Adam Levine is one of the easiest human beings. You can just, it's so easy to set him off. You know, he's literally has such a short fuse, and I miss that. I do miss that on the show because these other coaches, you know, they're better at keeping it together and not losing their mind on television like he would.
Yeah. Who's your favorite to compete against? I mean, is it the easy kill or not?
The other coaches to compete against you?
Yeah, who's your favorite to compete against? Like, Nick Jonas seems like he's kind of a lightweight.
Yeah, you know, Nick is he stays so cool. I mean, he's almost robotic. You know, you can't really rile that guy up. I think because he's been a star since he was born, basically, he's pretty much seen it all. Now Kelly Clarkson, she's probably my favorite to compete against. Because, and even John Legend, it's really hard to rattle that guy. He's just so calm. We were convinced for the first few seasons that John must just be high the whole time that he's on the show because he's so chill and just so laid back and just this grin on his face. And it's like that nobody feels like that all the time naturally, but turns out I guess he's not. But Kelly, I can get under Kelly's skin. It's a little more work, but I can do it, and I enjoy that.
Dan and Shay will be battle advisors on this upcoming season. You always choose people with amazing hair, I've noticed, as your advisors on the team. And you have great hair as well, Blake. So why? I notice these things because I have none. So it's just, you know, I live vicariously through others. So why did you pick Dan and Shay?
Well, you know, I've known those kids since they, you know, since they started, which I guess now that I say that out loud, probably hasn't been that long ago. But I took them out on tour with me in, man, I want to say 2013 or 2014.
Yeah.
And they were just, I think they had just had one single out at the time. And you know, they did the opening slot on the tour. And if I'm remembering right, I brought Neil McCoy out. Mm-hmm. I brought the band Perry were out there. And it was just, it was an odd combination of people to begin with, you know. And when you have that many artists out on tour with you, you want to spend some time and get to know them. And I tell you what, I mean, you know, we all love, you know, Dan and Shay, but let's face it, Shay is one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my life. And, you know, he's so funny. Yeah. He's got the wit and so we've stayed in touch over the years and Dan also, you know, especially Shay, you know, he's that kind of guy that'll wake up in the morning and text you something that you'll be laughing about for the next 8 hours. But so obviously I've actually wanted to have those guys as my mentors the last few seasons. And they just, you know, they've just gotten so damn popular that, you know, that's the other thing is like, you know, oh, now after I gave you guys this opportunity to open on tour and be in front of, you know, hundreds of people that I pack in. thank you. You got yes. that. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Now they couldn't pay me back, you know, to be mentors for me on The Voice. So I finally was able to guilt them and say, all right, I'll see how it is now. And so now that we're in a world pandemic and they don't have much else to do, they finally found the time to come be my mentors.
Love it. Real quick before I let you go, for all the Blake fans who love the music, what can you say about new music this year? I know the minimum wage, is that the leadoff single from an album, or where are we at on that?
I guess technically Happy Anywhere was the leadoff single for an album.
Okay.
Because it hasn't found a home yet. And neither has Minimum Wage, honestly. So I guess by the time we put out an album, and we'll put one out this year, I was always the first one to say, I don't know if I'm ever going to put out an album again. And mm-hmm. because I don't know how much longer those things live on, you know, but as long as people are buying them, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And so we'll put out an album this year. I like the idea of releasing a few singles and this day and age, you know, when somebody goes in to buy an album, I like for there to be, you know, several familiar songs on there already. So they feel like they're getting, you know, their money's worth out of it. So I wanted to just wait until we had two or three singles out there before we put the album out. So they'll have some things on there that they already know.
Well, bring it. Blake, thank you for the time. I know you got a busy day. A lot of people pulling at you. So thanks for making time for me.
I love you, Cody Allen. I miss you.
I love you, Blake Shelton. Take care. Tell Gwen I said hi. Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening to CodyCast. Follow Cody right now at Cody Allen on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hear Cody on hundreds of radio stations every day. And watch Cody on Hot 20 this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m., 8 central on CMT. Bye for now.